God. All right. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Spirit of the living God, as we actively listen to the preaching of your holy word, we pray that you would fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us, that we might discover completely how to cooperate with you, Holy Spirit, your work in us and in the world. Be glorified in our lives, we pray. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we praise you ahead of time. And all your saints join together to say, amen. Amen. Saints, we are starting a new series of sermons today on relationships. Everybody say relationships. Relationships. Everything in life that truly matters can be boiled down to relationships. Amen. Our theme will be, and the title of our sermon, what is it, saints? Life. Investing in relationships. Amen. Karen read so beautifully for us, Matthew 22. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your, and with all your. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, and that is love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Saints, almost everything we do touches a relationship in some way. I want us all to take a moment and just think about your day throughout. Whether you're at work, whether you're in your car, whether you're exercising, whether you're shopping, vacationing, whether you're here at church worshiping, whatever the activity that you do during the week, you and I are constantly involved with other people. You know what? Even when we interact with people we do. Can you remember your dream from last night? There were people in that dream. Latonya said no. But there are people in our dreams. We all want warm and fulfilling relationships, amen, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, and in our workplaces. And Pastor Rick and I, we long for all of us saints to be able to experience a newfound life and vitality and joy in our relationships. Now, how many know that God is still in the miracle-working business? How many know that today? Amen. Hallelujah. Miracles can take place in our relationships. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, miracles can take place. They can take place in our relationships. In fact, Pastor Rick and I are going to offer you a guarantee with this series. In this delightful adventure of discovery, you will experience God's love and power and joy in a fresh and exciting way in all of your relationships. Are you interested? Amen, then. I want you to high-five your neighbor and say, neighbor, together, let's experience a relationship revolution. A relationship revolution. That's what we need. Amen. Amen. Now, unless you live in a cave somewhere and are completely isolated from all people, every facet of your life, friends, touches a relationship in some way. In fact, everything we do, everywhere we go, we are in relationship with other people. We have relationships at home, relationships with our spouse, with our children, with our friends, with our parents, with our siblings. We have relationships at work, amen, with our coworkers. We've got relationship with our boss, amen. Relationship with one another here at church. Even when we go grocery shopping, there are relationships with other shoppers, praise God, and the cashier. When you're driving down the road on your way to church, guess what? You're in relationship with the other drivers who are driving along with you. Now, these relationships can be good or they can be bad, amen? They can be friendly or they can be road rage. Get out of my way. Now, usually my relationships with other drivers are like, what are you listening to? Because you sure look like you having a good time in that car. Amen. In fact, saints, we are affected by relationships every day. And people are affected every day, either positively or negatively, by the relationship they have with us. We are created for relationships. Say that with me. We are created for relationships. Thus, our theme is life is all about investing in relationships. Now, saints, God has placed within each human being a need to be with other people. A need. We need relationships. Now, when those relationships are good, when they're growing, when they're positive, when they're nurturing, life, it's good. It feels good. It's enjoyable and fulfilling. But when our relationships go sour, when they're strained, it affects us in many adverse ways. For example, when there are problems at home, or we're having difficulty with one of our coworkers at work, or we can't get along with our neighbor on this side, or we're at odds with a fellow Christian, then our lives are struggling. And rarely, saints, do we have a problem in life that is not connected in some way to a struggling relationship. Since God created us to need relationships, praise God, God has also provided us instructions in His Word, amen, to help us make our relationships strong. Now, we're hardwired for relationships. We read Matthew 22, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, in his book, The DNA of Relationships, Gary Smalley quotes a Dr. Alan Shore of UCLA, a neuroscientist and development psychologist, as saying, all humans are born to form attachments, that our brains are physically wired to develop in sync with another through emotional communication, even before words are spoken. Our sense of right and wrong originates largely from our biological prime need to connect with others. In other words, relationships are paramount to our spiritual, our physical, our emotional health and growth. Now, if you would look at your sermon note sheet, you'll see, first of all, we need a relationship with God. And I want us to read that number one together. What does it say? Our relationship with God is the most important of all our relationships. God is our creator, saints, and Jesus has created us to desire him, to need him, to want him. Yet there are some people who say, ooh, I have fallen out with God a long time ago. Don't you know I don't need God in my life? I don't believe in God. I don't have a relationship with God. But the fact is, saints, we all need God whether we like it or not. I want you to tell your neighbor, like it or not, we all need God. Like it or not, we all need God. In describing God, the Apostle Paul said, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. That's Acts 17, 28. How many here know today that without God, we wouldn't even exist? We wouldn't exist. So if you want to exist, then you need God. Furthermore, we have a relationship with God whether we want one or not. Now, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it tells us that we all are created in God's image. We are all spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, there is a direct connection, a relationship between us and God. Now, we may not have a personal, intimate relationship with God. And granted, our relationship today with God may be rather dysfunctional. But we all have a relationship with God nonetheless. And somebody needs to say hallelujah anyhow. Yeah, anyhow. So whether we realize it or not, our spirit, our soul, it yearns to be with God. Amen. For example, if I would ask you right now, what would it take to make you happy? Can anybody shout out things that make people happy? Be able to pay our bills. Amen. Amen. Money. Amen. Family. All right. Food. Dinner. Amen. Amen. Shoes. Okay. Shoes would make them happy. Oh, what for your car? Gas for your car. All right. All right, Hassan. All right, brother. Amen. Clothes. Peace in the streets. That's a good one. That's a good one. Love. Those are good. Amen. That's very good, Benny. That's very good. Now, I've heard answers as well, like good looks, popularity, fame, prestige, sex. These things would make me very happy, I've heard. But if you notice, you look in the magazines and you see all these people that's got money, good looks, fame, sex. And we say, why? They got all of these things, but yet they still can't find happiness. They still have a void, a need for something more. They don't realize it, but that something more, that thing that they crave, that void, that emptiness in their life cannot be satisfied by anything that this earth, the world has to offer, because it's a spiritual yearning. It's a yearning that can only find fulfillment in God. Amen. Now, moving on to our second truth. What is that, saints? We need relationships with others. In Genesis 2, God said of Adam, it is not good for a man to be alone. He needs a companion. Now, this companion can come in the form of a spouse, as it did in the case of Adam, or it can come in the form of a friend. The main thing is, saints, God created us with this innate need for relationships, family, friends, Christian brothers and sisters, co-workers, neighbors, classmates, and on and on. Now, this doesn't mean that every relationship in our lives is healthy, because everyone in this sanctuary has had some difficult relationships, including with our very own family members. Amen. Husbands, wives, parents, children, brothers and sisters, we've all had difficult relationships. And I love this book. This is one of my books for class this semester in school, The DNA of Relationships by Dr. Gary Smalley. And in his book, Gary Smalley, he quotes one young man saying about his girlfriend, sometimes I feel I can't live with her, yet I know I can't live without her. Have you ever felt that way? No? All right. Well then maybe the story of Mamie Adams you might be able to relate to. Now, this is a true story. Mamie Adams, she goes to the post office, and this will help us understand the need for connection and relationships. She always bought her stamps at the same branch. One Christmas, the line was so long, someone pointed out to her that she did not have to wait in line because there was a stamp machine in the lobby. I know, said Mamie, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis. Amen. Amen. You see, the issue for Mamie when buying her stamps was not speed, it wasn't efficiency, it was personal contact, some evidence of some human interest in her. And in reflecting upon myself, I am so much like Mamie, amen. Oh, well, I know the names of the cashiers, and they know my name. I was laughing at Arby's. I didn't know that at first that Mike was related to OJ, but she and I were friends ever before I connected that that was your cousin, because they all knew me, and I, even the manager from Arby's came here to worship one day. You say, hi, grandmommy, hi, granddaddy, hi, hi, sister, hi, you go and give everybody a hug, and then you, everybody's okay. When you leave, you don't say, bye, everybody. You say, oh, I love you, bye, bye, bye. You get right touch, and then you go home, or you go where you go. Oh, he has watched me hug so many people. And he thinks like, okay, he counts. There's about 20 more people she's got to hug before we, oh, and if somebody, and then I start talking to, oh, and he sees five more people coming. Oh, no, she's got, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Rick. I'm sorry, Pastor Rick. I love you, Pastor Rick. God put me in your life to teach you that fruit of patience. I really have helped you grow in that area. Praise God. Amen. I want to ask, do you think it would be tough to be married to you? But the question I want all of us to ask ourselves, we're going to ask it out loud. What is it like to be in relationship with me? Everybody say that with me. What is it like to be in relationship with me? What kind of friend am I? What is it like to have me as a wife, as a husband? What is it like to have me as a daughter, as a son? What is it like to have me for a neighbor? What is it like to have me for an employee? What is it like to have me for a boss? What is it like to have me as a friend? Well, saints, that's the core of our message. We must take responsibility for ourselves. For the only person I can change is me. You see, that's the power of one. We all have the power of one. I can't change Pastor Rick. I can't change my children. I can't change anyone in this church. I can't change the deacons. I can't change the elders or the dancers or the staff. It's not that I haven't tried. And others have tried to change me. But often when people don't change, we end up getting frustrated, don't we? And then the relationships become more and more strained. So it boils down to the fact, saints, that God is the only one who can change people. Only God, only God. And I can only change myself through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because on our own we can't do it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in you for you to be able to change. And when I finally can grasp this truth, my relationships with people are going to be better. Because when I start making changes on how I relate to other people, they're going to start relating to me differently. Amen. Now I want us to consider two truths, saints. The first is this. The problem is rarely the problem. In other words, our list of issues is rarely the problem that puts the strain on the relationship. All right, that's number one. Secondly, it's never just about the other person. In order for us to have healthy relationships, we all must take personal responsibility for our part. Now, I want you to look at your note sheet again, and in bold on the second page, it says, we are to be responsible for our own emotions and happiness. I'm not sure if you've heard this old joke, but it goes like this. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Amen. And that statement is based upon the premise that mama's happiness determines the happiness and well-being of everyone else in the house. Amen, I heard a sister say. Hallelujah. Although we know on the surface that it's silly, deep down in, saints, we believe that our happiness is contingent upon the actions of our relationships. For example, a husband might say, oh, if my wife would just quit nagging me about going out with the boys, if she would just stop it, then I know I could be happy. Or a wife might say, oh, if my husband would only just let me know how much he appreciates me or brings me flowers, I know I would be thrilled and happy. We might say, if only my boss would give me a raise, I know I would be happy. I would enjoy my job better. we might say, well, if only the kids would clean up their room, life would be so much easier. We might say, well, if only my parents would just stay out of my business, everything would be so cool. All right, do you have your list? I got my list, so I'm sure you have your list too. I don't know how you react when people do these things that they don't want, you don't want them to do, and they keep doing them. But, you know, sometimes I get so upset, and then I find myself getting depressed and sinking down. Anybody else? Then some, all right, I'm not the only one. All right, praise God. Well, guess what? Getting frustrated and upset and sinking into depression, it don't change a thing. It don't change a thing. Oh, praise God, saints. It just makes us more upset. So we have to learn, saints, to not allow the actions and words of others to rob us of our joy. Now, this doesn't mean that antagonistic actions, the disrespectful remarks, lack of appreciation and concern directed towards us don't hurt. They do hurt, but they don't have to control our response or plead us of our joy. Saints, by learning to control our thoughts, we're able to control our actions, our feelings. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, saints, this passage teaches us that God has given us the ability to take every destructive thought captive for God. In other words, I don't have to allow what people do or don't do, say or don't say, to affect my feelings and actions by dwelling on, I can't believe she said that. Ooh, I can't believe he just did that. Ooh, I don't have to keep going on like that, making myself getting more and more depressed. We can, in the midst of that, experience the peace of God. Now, Gary Smalley, now this is it's an awesome book, The DNA of Relationship. Now, quoting from Dr. Archibald Hart's book, Habits of the Mind, says that we cannot control our emotions directly, but we can influence how we're feeling by changing our thoughts. And the Word of God tells us in Philippians 4, think on things that are lovely, of good report. And it tells us the list that we can think upon things. And, you know, even in the most troublesome relationship, we see in the Word of God two sisters, Euodia and Syntyche, two sisters in Christ. They can't get along with each other. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what their rift is about. But we know it caused such a problem in the church that Paul felt the need to address it in his letter. Paul wants these two Christian saints to understand that instead of fighting and bickering and being angry at each other, they have the power through God's Holy Spirit to be able to change their destructive thought pattern and find joy once again. And here, Paul, he presents a four-pronged process to accomplish this. I have it printed in the notes. The first is what? Remember the importance of the relationship. Paul reminds these two sisters of how they used to work together side by side, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's asking them, is this really a relationship you want to throw away? And when relationships are strained, saints, we need to stop and think about how important that relationship really is in our life. And then remember the good things about that relationship. Hallelujah. And then find joy even in these difficult situations. Now, some relationships can result in some very hurtful situations. Anybody ever been hurt in a relationship? Well, we can just keep dwelling on those hurtful things. We can go around sulking all the time, but that doesn't erase it, and it doesn't help the hurt. So it doesn't do anything to make the relationship better. It just adds fuel to the fire. So Paul wants us to understand, no matter what the difficulty is that we are facing, we do not have to let it rob us of joy in our hearts and lives. So what is the second thing Paul tells us to do? Turn your situation to God in prayer. Amen. Pray to God. Pray to God about the difficulty that you're having in a relationship. God is the great relationship counselor. Hallelujah. Just fall on the floor. Pour yourself out to God. And have you noticed when you just cast all your cares upon him, then there's just this peace that starts coming over you. And it surpasses all human understanding. But that is the peace of God That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. At work in your life and in your relationship. Hallelujah. Then Paul tells us, thirdly, to do what? Dwell on the positive. Now, when someone upsets you, do you think you're going around thinking about their positive attributes? No. You thinking about that knucklehead. You're not thinking about anything positive about the person. Oh, they're just so wonderful. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you're thinking about the negative things, that you're so upset with that person. Well, in the middle of a relationship rift, we have a tendency to dwell on the negative. So the fact is, every last one of us here today have faults. If there's anyone here today that you feel that you might not have faults, would you please be willing to stand and share that with us? Okay. All right. And no one stood. So actually, every last one of us have faults. Amen. Every last one of us in this room. So no one would be left out. All right. Now, when I'm upset with my Pastor Rick, I can think of some of his faults. I can list his faults. But you know what? When I start thinking about his positive attributes, oh, they far, far outweigh his faults. It's true. Preach. Praise God. Preach. Praise God, Pastor Rick. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on, Pastor Rick. I could just say now, why won't he ever close those cabinet doors? All right. In the kitchen, every door is open. I know he's been in the kitchen. All right. But then if I keep dwelling on it, you know what? I start looking in them cabinets. I say, wow, they sure full of food, aren't they? I say, Pastor Rick sure got them cabinets filled with food. That man is taking good care of me. I got plenty of food to eat. So you know what? I think I can go over here and close this cabinet door. I just close the cabinet door. Start thinking of the positive. Oh, you get tired of picking up socks behind people in the house. Guess what? You can say, ooh, I'm keeping myself in good shape. Look at me. Nice, strong leg. I just keep on. Oh, yeah. I got a benefit. Yeah. Keep picking up them socks. Think of something positive. There's something positive in every situation. And Scripture tells us, think about those things. Hallelujah. If we dwell on the positive. And then remember why I fell in love with him in the first place. Hallelujah. Why he swept me off my feet. I can go back to that. Amen. And keep on trying. Hallelujah. Saints, we are responsible for our actions and our reactions. Next week, Pastor Rick is going to be talking about investment tips for family relationships. But today, just want to bring in, God has given us the ability to control how we respond when other people are pushing our buttons. Amen. Now, quickly, I just want to talk about responding to our enemies and reacting to those who are being hateful to us. We can respond by giving people what they deserve, good punch in the nose or kick in the pants, something like that. Or we can respond by giving them what they need. Amen. That's why Jesus said, be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. And Paul also tells us that we can get rid of negative and destructive emotions and replace them with positive actions. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 4, beginning with 26, do not grieve the Holy Spirit that is within you. Now, notice Paul didn't say that it was wrong or a sin to be angry or become depressed, because there are certain actions that people do to us and certain things that we see, and certain things that people have said that make us upset, and rightfully so. Paul is not saying that we do not have a right to not be angry, but he says we are not to allow our anger to turn into sinful thoughts, into sinful actions, and sinful words out of our mouth, that we are to deal with our anger quickly, amen, and in a godly way. Now, everything that we've talked about today isn't always easy to do. Just tell your neighbor, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't easy. Maintaining happy, healthy relationships is a constant challenge. Amen. Now, the reason is, saints, we are all people who are struggling with sin in our lives. We do things, we say things that are wrong and hurtful. And most of the time when we do and we say these things, then later we regret and we feel so bad and we wish to God we had never said or did some of the things we said or did. We allowed the frustration of the moment to impair our better judgment. And when that happens, we need to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Let's just practice that, just to say it out loud, because some of us have a hard time. I'm sorry. All right, so let's just practice that together. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Amen. Amen. That's where we need to start. And that's why Paul said, be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other. Paul wants people in hurtful relationships to say, okay, yes, I did a stupid thing. Yes, I should not have said what I said. I shouldn't have done what I did. But please forgive me. Forgive me. And please let's start over. Hallelujah. Pastor Rick and I, we said, we done started over so many times. We can't even count how many times. We cannot count how many times we have started over. Thank you for being willing to start over and over and over again with me, Pastor Rick. But you know what? That's Jesus' way. Jesus' way is a much better way. So I want to ask you, have you been taking responsibility for yourself? We have to take the responsibility to forgive the one who hurt us. Hallelujah. But how should we forgive saints? Well, just as Christ in God forgave you. That's how we too are to forgive. I want us to take a moment and just look at this video clip, and then we're going to wind our sermon down.
Because what happens if you don't forgive is bitterness starts to grow in your heart, and it's like a poison, and it goes through your whole body. It's like basically getting bit by a snake. And when you get bit by a snake, that venom goes in your blood and begins to like seep through your system. And it's the same thing with bitterness. When you allow unforgiveness to take root in your heart, that bitterness grows and it spreads and it just makes you miserable. So you really think that you're harming that other person by not forgiving them, when in reality, you're being harmed because you're not forgiving.
Before I became a Christian, I was like the only black kid in a very racist suburban town in Tennessee. They sick dogs on me, they jumped me on the playground, had to go to the hospital once because they kicked my ribs in. Got called nigger every day. And for a while, I hated white people. I mean, if you were white, I hate you. That's the bottom line. Because you hate me.
Obviously, it's my fault that I'm not forgiving people. And it's a hold on me more than it is anger towards them. It's just like, it's consuming me, not them.
It really took God to like transform me and fix me and get me away from that hate. And once it was gone, like, it feels so much better. Like, wow, it's like a huge just a weight lifted off your shoulders. Forgiveness is definitely absolutely necessary if you're going to be a Christian. Absolutely.
So, you know, once upon a time, 4 years old, had a real bad experience, one of these child rape dealies. And that sits with you, man. That sits with you for years. And as a kid, you know, your parents motivate you, and they're like, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. But that's just the kind of stuff that doesn't go away. And so, you know, you find yourself in your teenage years, and you're like, man, I want to get even for that. And all of a sudden, you find you got a real ball of hate right in your chest. And it's like, whoo, I'm just going to let this out one day. I'm bigger now. I mean, I'm about 6 foot. I weigh about 220. I will take that person, no doubt. I spent years thinking about it. You know, one day it'd be great to just kind of like kill him and just be done with it. I mean, hey, eye for an eye, right? Let's go for it. I came to Christ and I found myself on my knees one night. I was just like, God, forgive this person. Forgive this person because I know that I may not have done the exact same thing to anybody else, but I've done my fair share of messed up stuff.
Speaking about fighting people, I remember one time in high school, I got in a fight with a guy. And I'm talking about, I'm a Christian at this time. I know the word. I've been to church, you know, Sundays, you know what I mean? Give my offerings and tithes, and I get into a fight, man. Well, I remember that. It was during my basketball practice, and I remember we went outside, we hit each other till we were tired, till we couldn't swing no more. And we rested a little bit and kept on going. And I remember one time his mom came up to me, and she said, I know what happened between you and my son. And I'm not going to defend them, but what you two are keeping together, that rancor, that the hate you're holding together, is affecting the team. And whew, my eyes open, I'm like, God, what have you been doing, you know? I'm a Christian, and I believe in you, and I've been holding this. And so from then on, I went up to him, and I go, look, man, I'm sorry, you know. I noticed that the things that we do, the hate that we hold, doesn't just affect the two people that are holding it together. It affects everyone.
As a boy growing up in Brooklyn, I became a person that was filled with hatred. There were kids making fun of me, and from there I began to hate everybody. I even hated my family. I hated my brothers, my mom, my dad, and I just wanted to just kill people. I should have hated those people that made fun of me and abused me. But when Christ came into my life, it was so much easier to forgive them because I didn't have any grudges. I didn't have any pains anymore. They were all gone.
Trying to forgive my own father, that is difficult alone. Myself, my parents are divorced, and my dad didn't exactly do the nicest things to our family, and that alone has been really difficult to forgive, and I'm still struggling with it right now, and like 5 years later, it's still not gone yet, and if I myself try to forgive him, I wouldn't get anywhere. I can't do that. There's so much hurt and pain and anger in my own heart that it's impossible for me to be like, I forgive you, Dad, you know? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. And the only way that you can forgive is to seek God's help to forgive and to ask him, you know, please just like come into my life, show me like this compassion for my father, and you know, like he himself is lost, he himself is going through this hard time, like I shouldn't blame him for the struggles that he's going through. And seeking God's love and seeking his forgiveness for my anger, for my own resentment towards him, and then also just seeking his help, because I definitely just can't do it alone, and just knowing that, you know, it's God in me who's going to be forgiving him, not by my own means.
What happens is I've been forgiven so much by other people, the people at church and my family, because of when I left the church and did my own thing and got into a lot of trouble, that when I come across people who have done the same to me, kind of snubbed me, and I have bitterness towards them, it's much easier for me to forgive them, because God says that those who are forgiven much love much. So in turn, I am showing them love because I know how much I've been forgiven.
The more baggage you carry around, the more anger, the more hatred, the more everything you've got built up inside you, that's all weighing you down. It's breaking your back and it's breaking your heart. When you come to that point, your mind says let it go, you forgive that person, and your heart follows, you're free. It's gone. And suddenly, you walk a little taller, your heart's a little lighter, the world's a heck of a lot brighter. Let it go.
About the times each of us have sinned against God. I want us to think about the ungodly things that we have done. We ourselves. The nasty things we ourselves have said. And then think about how God continues to forgive us and to love us in spite of these things. And to realize that's how we're to forgive one another. And when we can forgive like that, then our relationships will start to mend. And miraculously, there will be a relationship revolution in all of our lives and relationships. Because Jesus is not going to leave us the same. Jesus is going to heal us. Jesus is going to bind us together with love. Jesus is going to bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. So we pray today, make it so, Lord Jesus. Help us to take responsibility for ourselves today in our relationships. We need more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord Jesus, so that we can forgive. More of you. And we don't have to let other people push our buttons and suddenly start sinning ourselves in reaction. We say, yes, Lord, yes to your word for us today. And ask that you would make it so. And we pray, Lord, that you would let our hearts be changed. That you would renew us, flowing from that marvelous grace that comes from you, that we have found in you. And Lord, as we reflect, we come to know the weaknesses that we see in ourselves, the sins, and all of that will be stripped away by the power of your love. Lord, unveil our eyes. Let us see you face to face. The knowledge of your love as you live in us. Renew our minds as your will unfolds in our lives. In living every day and living in our relationships in the power of your love. And it's in your mighty name, Lord. We ask if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they will not leave here without you. Lord, but they would come forward and just invite you to come in or where they're seated, Lord, and just come up and allow us to celebrate with them, Lord, the new life that you're going to offer them today. Just let them say, yes, Lord, yes today. And Lord, if there's someone here today that has a broken relationship, a strained relationship, that they would come forth and just say, Lord, you are able to heal, that you are able to accomplish what concerns me in this relationship, these other people, this other person. You are able to accomplish your will in our situation. Make it so. If you would be willing to come down and allow us to pray with you, you need to be set free. If there's something you've been holding in your heart, thinking about, and you're just getting worse, come today and give it to the Lord and be set free, as the young man said, so that you can feel a little bit taller, so your heart can be a little bit lighter. Just let it go. I'm going to ask that you stand now, and in Jesus' name, the doors of the church are open. You need salvation? Please come. If you need a miracle in your life today, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate.